You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday evening to you all, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. We are back with the mailbag, my favorite show every week. So I know it doesn't sound like it, but I've kind of taken today off. Finally, like, I haven't really taken it off. I spent 2 hours transcribing for that Joel Klatt, Urban Meyer film breakdown. It was like 20 minutes long, and it was just too interesting. I planned on taking the day off aside from the podcast, and I was just like, man, that is just way too cool. I've got to be able to do that. So otherwise, it's just been hanging out, watching South Park. It's just been a fun day as far as that's concerned. But mailbag takes precedence. We are back with it. First, before we get to anything, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, let's start out with our leaders and best. James Crittup at James Crittup 6. How could Michigan State lose to Rutgers when their coach was so cool smoking his cigar? Do you think the running backs could end up struggling due to rotating so much and not allowing a back to find his rhythm? I know that question is being asked later, so I will give credit to the other person for asking that question. You're just behind the leaders and best. So as far as the Mel Tucker thing, I mean, listen, you got to do what you can do to kind of change the image. I mean, Harbaugh obviously did that at Michigan. If he would have gone 6-6 or 5-7 in year one, who knows what people would have thought? Who knows that, you know, with just the antics, the satellite camps, all that kind of stuff. When you win, people love it. When you don't, people think it's ridiculous. You know, people loved Brady Hoke not wearing a headset. People loved Brady Hoke clapping on the sidelines until the team wasn't very good. And that's kind of how it is with coaches. Your personality, whatever it is, whatever you do to make your personality shine, people are going to hate it if you don't win. And your rivals are going to love it. As far as the running backs thing, I wrote about that in the actually in the game thread. We can't have commenters in the game thread anymore, which is annoying. Just based off of, we don't have a message board anymore, which I'm fine with because I forgot that it existed. I tried really hard to get it going, and it just didn't really take a hold, and it's just a whole other element. But the live blog service we use doesn't allow commenters anymore, which is kind of annoying. I'd like to find out more about that. Maybe I will. But anyway, I had written about that in the live thread during the game, that my concern with, you know, just spreading out those carries, that no one can get in rhythm. I'm sure that, again, it's a bunch of riches, right? It's an embarrassment of riches. But it's one of those things where I'm sure that Josh Gattis will figure it out as it goes along. And that's one of those things you have to figure out. How are you going to work in four guys with regularity? I was surprised personally when I saw Blake Corum got the start. I don't think anyone expected that, Blake Corum getting the first snap, but he did. So it's something that he's got to figure out, because that's the thing. Running backs do want to get in rhythm, and it's important to get them into rhythm. So we'll see how that works out going forward. We'll see if there ends up being a method to it. I'm sure that would be one of the questions that if we get Josh Gattis or Jay Harbaugh anytime soon, that would be a question that gets asked if things don't. If they look as kind of sporadic as they did in week one. Worked well in week one because you had, you know, Charbonnet bust out the long one early. You had Haskins break one out later. But you'd love to see, you'd love to figure it out a little bit more. Josh Barr at Jadicky. I think the thing I was impressed with the most last weekend was how Gattis was able to effectively use Mason in this offense. Went from fullback being useless in the scheme last season to him making plays, key plays consistently. What other offensive evolutions do you think we will see? Second question, Aiden Hutchinson mentioned Minnesota got a lot of yards out of the run game because they were also expecting pass and Minnesota ran instead. Is this a potential play calling issue on defense? Seems like there should be such a thing as a run blitz in this game. I'll answer the second question first. I don't think that it's an issue, because you also have to look at, when did Minnesota get those running yards? Michigan was willing to live with, I think, those running yards, compared to letting, kind of what I said the game plan was, don't let Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman beat you. And they didn't. I mean, Bateman had a good day, but it wasn't the kind of day, Tanner Morgan didn't have a good day, and it wasn't the kind of day that you would look at and say, well, there it is. That's why it didn't work. If Michigan struggles to run or play against the run defensively against a bad Michigan State front, not a good running back look, Rutgers held them to 50 yards. Michigan theoretically should be much better than that. So if they can't hold them and they get like 150 yards on the ground, 200 yards on the ground, which I don't think is going to happen, but if they do, then it's time to start being concerned. But, this is one of the things I talked about with my best friend earlier today, is you have to look at the game in context to some degree. And people are concerned, well, they gave up 24 points. Who cares, really? Because that game was in hand pretty much second quarter. And anything that they get after that, assuming you don't let them come back, assuming you can answer tit for tat offensively, it doesn't matter. That's college football nowadays. And yeah, you'd love to see Michigan get a shutout every week and score 50 points every week. It's just not going to happen. So I think that it's fine. As far as the offensive thing is concerned, I was surprised that Mason was used so much. I can tell you with a degree of certainty that was not what the thought process was regarding Ben Mason. Not, I would say 8-9 months ago. It is a complete paradigm shift in philosophy from Josh Gattis. As far as other offensive evolutions that we'll see, I don't know, because I was surprised by that. I can't really come out and say they're going to do this, they're going to do that. But I think the pro spread, we're actually seeing it. Like, he always said pro spread when he came in, but they didn't really use the power element like they did this year, which also includes Ben Mason. I'm just surprised that they used some power elements. So don't let people fool you that say they didn't use any, because you hear like Urban Meyer and Joel Klatt say they did no pull concepts. Choking on my tobacco. They didn't use any pull concepts or anything before. They have used the pull concepts. They have used power concepts. But Warner does primarily teach zone. And you saw zone, but you also saw power. And I think it was a good mixture of them. And I think that when you have guys who have been in the system for a while, you can do that. But as far as other offensive evolutions that we might see, I don't know. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. How similar will this weekend's game be to that versus that team down the road, State University? I'm glad you're co-opting that to the 2016 game versus Rutgers. Listen, it's a rivalry game. I think that's a little hard to predict. Michigan State was able to throw the ball sometimes effectively, 319 yards for Rocky Lombardi. Jaden Reed looked really good at times. They both fumbled the ball, though. Can't run the ball worth a lick. I don't think Michigan's secondary is quite at that level yet as Jordan Lewis and Channing Stribling, as far as the corners are concerned. You probably have an upgrade in Daxton Hill and Brad Hawkins from, in my opinion, and that's, I think, high praise from Jabril Peppers and Demonte Thomas. Well, Jabril, sorry, he was the Viper. Demonte Thomas and why am I blanking on the other one? The other dude, Delano Hill. But I think Barrett as well is kind of an upgrade as well on Jabril. Based off of 1 week, right? Like, that could change. But based off of 1 week, Barrett was incredible. I don't think it's going to be similar. I think Michigan State will get some points. I just think Michigan will get a lot more points, because I don't think State's defense, based off of what Rutgers was able to do to them, is going to be able to do anything. And now Rutgers didn't get like a ton of yards. I mean, I think they got a ton of rushing yards. I closed the window, but I had it up. I think Rutgers got a ton of yards on the ground and not much through the air, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it was like anything insane. I think they held them under 400 yards on the day, if I am not mistaken. I gotta love how I click on one thing and it brings me to another right when I wanted it to go right to the game recap, like it said it was going to. But anyway, I think Rutgers did a good job. I think that the 38 points is something of a misnomer just because, again, all the turnovers. You can't expect Michigan State to turn the ball over like that again. Maybe two or three, seven, no. So, I mean, Rutgers, okay, here's what they had. 170 yards passing, 106 rushing. I mean, that's not crazy. That's 276 yards of offense. Normally, when you look and say 276 yards of offense, sweet. But they had short fields to work with. That's the big difference. So, we'll see, because Michigan's offense looked unstoppable. Do I think it will look that unstoppable? Probably not. I don't know what my score prediction is yet. I've got that coming up tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to be like 78 to nothing. I don't think it's that level. The question posed yesterday is, was Rutgers better or was Michigan State worse or both? That's the question that we won't know until Saturday. New writer for Wolverines Wire, Trent Noop. Which starter did you think had a solid debut but is not getting the credit he deserves? That's a hard one. I don't know, because Michael Barrett's obviously getting a ton of credit. Can't count Daxton Hill in that. He looked rough at like for a couple plays early and then really settled in on Rashad Bateman before he went out. You know who it is? Actually, it's not a hard one to start up with. I think it's Jamon Green. I think Jamon Green looked incredible. He was right in whoever he was covering's pocket the entire game. Even on that long pass given up to Chris Ottman-Bell, he was in position to make a play. He just overran the play, and that was obviously an offensive pass interference that didn't get called. I thought Jamon Green played incredible. That makes you feel a lot better about what he is capable of and where this cornerback unit could be. I think he deserves a ton of credit. We talked to Vincent Gray this week, but we didn't talk to Jamon Green. I think Jamon Green was the one that we should have been talking to, because, I mean, he just looked great. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner. At Jimmy Whitner 1, over under 3 5 stars in 2022. Number 2, who outside of Joe impressed you the most? Does all the Wisconsin positive tests mean our game in 3 weeks with Wisconsin is in jeopardy too? I think it's a lot of time. I know they're up to 16, as according to people on Twitter.com. Can't remember which person reported it. Bruce Feldman, I think. Listen, 3 weeks is a ways away. There's going to be more people sitting out than we're not. But yes, it's definitely in jeopardy. Who impressed me outside of Joe the most? Michael Barrett. And I don't think it was necessarily close. But I'll give you some honorable mentions. I was impressed with Julius Welshoff. I thought he looked really good. The whole offensive line looked great. I had been going nuts over the Filiaga block since in-game. That sprung the Zach Charbonnet touchdown. Thought Vestardis held his own. Mayfield was still who he is. Ryan Hayes, it's like we don't even notice him because he was just good. The running backs group, I mean, it's just everybody looked good. That's the thing about it. Except for some guys thrown to the fire late in the game, whose names I won't mention, that hadn't really had the starting experience or playing experience. I mean, I thought that it was a really good showing from almost everyone involved. So, as far as the recruiting, who knows? It's still early yet, but, I mean, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Michigan recruiting reporters that do it all the time, not like me, who does it sometimes, who were sitting there telling you Damani Jackson was close to a lock for Michigan, and now he's trending towards Ohio State. So, I don't know. I don't know about the three stars. I'll go under. They've got one, and they're going to stay with one in 2021, even if they get everybody they want. So that's what makes that difficult. All right. We need to move on. Now, do you ever feel like you just need to chill? What do you do when you need to chill? How do you like it when you need that moment to chill? Would you like to hit that reset button, get ready for what's next? These days, everything's go, 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 but it's nothing but nonstop hustle all of the time. Except for when you have days like today, you can just lay in bed and watch South Park, take a nap. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues and expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off, hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's literally only beer out there that's made to literally chill. It's Coors Light. You all know I don't drink anymore, but when I did, Coors Light was my light beer of choice. It's crisp, it's refreshing, it's wonderful. I was drinking it from 2003 until I quit in 2013. So yeah. Listen, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light's the one I used to choose when I needed to unwind, so when you need to hit the reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Golden, Colorado. The other thing that you know that I need to tell you about is Rock Auto. I mean, you all know how much money I saved from Rock Auto. Rock Auto definitely saved me thousands of dollars. Just all of the times that I had to fix my timing belt, all that kind of stuff. Listen, rockauto.com, they have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, and they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Okay, we are going to continue on with the mailbag here, starting with Colby Murray at The Only Colby. Should we be worried about an upset on Saturday? I'm kind of worried, but maybe that's just me. Listen, you're going to get Michigan State's best shot. Probably still won't be good enough. If it happens, it is a huge upset. But they are really going to want to redeem themselves being down 0-1, and it's a rivalry game. Michigan can't be overconfident. They say they're not, but we'll see what happens when they actually go out there. You don't have the fans behind you, except for the parents in the crowd. I think Michigan is just better. That's the thing. Could it end up being a close game, closer than people think? It absolutely could. You're going to get Michigan State's best possible shot. That's why I don't think it's going to be like some 70-3. Maybe it will be. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think Michigan is better at every single position on the field. Not only better like offensive line, but also better offensive line to defensive line. Wide receivers to corners. Running backs to linebackers. I mean, across the board, it's just better. Anything can happen, however, in a rivalry game. So, do I think an upset will happen? No. Is it possible? I know Scott Bell said it is not possible on this podcast a couple days ago. I think it's possible because it's college football. Anything can happen. Do I think it will happen? No, I don't. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Nick Baumgartner said that Milton was made for Gattis' offense. McCarthy seems similar to McCaffrey. Is that a concern solely on scheme? No. I mean, what Gattis is doing, because listen, Joe Milton was recruited by who? Pep Hamilton. He would have been doing a lot of the same stuff under Pep Hamilton as far as the running, throwing, all that stuff. It just would have been different, of course, but I think Milton is built for any offense that wants to score points. J.J. McCarthy is a five-star talent. They're going to work around what he does, just like they're working around what Milton does. That's the beauty of it. I don't think McCaffrey is wrong for Gattis' offense either. Like, I think that that worked fine. But I think that McCarthy has got more prowess in the ability to throw the ball than what Dylan McCaffrey did. So I really wouldn't worry about that. Is he as strong-armed as Joe Milton? No. But I think that he would be a guy that's going to go out there and toss at an 80% clip. And maybe he'll run sometimes. I think it's going to be similar in that vein. I think the accuracy might. I think Milton, by the way, was plenty accurate. I think the accuracy looks even better with a guy like McCarthy. Think what you saw out of Graham Mertz in week one. I think he, just right out of the package, he's going to be a guy that's just accurate. I think that there's no concern there whatsoever. RTK at FarmRK84. The Michigan-Minnesota game was the most watched ESPN college football game so far this year. Clearly, Michigan is a big name and a huge brand, but why has that led to more recruiting wins during the Harbaugh era? Will that change with upcoming name, image, likeness rules? I think they've won plenty, but here's the thing you have to remember, and I feel like this is something that I have to remind people of every now and again. They are not going to get, like, you can wipe off half of those top prospects, because Michigan's a hard school, and people can make fun of general studies, but guess what? They still have to go to the same class. General studies just mean you don't have one dedicated major, essentially. You're doing, pulling from a bunch of different philosophies. The classes are still hard at Michigan. A lot harder than other places. And it's hard to get in. Some people don't want to play school. That is what is always going to keep people from wanting to go. Now, they could start winning more five-star battles if they win more big games. And when I say win more big games, I don't just mean the games that people stop calling a big game after Michigan wins it. I'm talking about they need to win. They need to beat Ohio State. They need to beat Alabama. They need to be able to do those types of things to be like, look at what we are building here. Then you have a better shot to be able to get a guy that says Michigan's your dream school, like Damani Jackson did, who's now trending towards Ohio State. Ohio State has a track record. Ohio State just runs through everybody like a bulldozer. Michigan puts up little to no resistance the last 2 years. You put up some resistance, then you get it. But listen, Michigan's bringing in really good recruits. We're talking about this as if they are finishing outside of the top 20, and they have under Jim Harbaugh, but more often than not, they're in the top 10. But you're not going to be able to recruit like Georgia. You're not going to be able to recruit like Alabama or LSU or Ohio State just because you have the educational component of it, and it's a harder sell. And sometimes guys, some of those people that have transferred away from the program because they couldn't cut it in the classroom. Not going to tell you who, but that's the case. So it happens. It's a hard school. Harry Dieters at Harry Dieters. Over under that the first stringers play more than two drives in the third quarter. I think it depends on how the game goes. I'll go over. I think it's going to be over. If Michigan State plays dirty, which they have a penchant to do with Jacob Padnishuk, I'm looking at you, then you might want to get Milton out of there. You might want to get some of those guys out of there. You don't want to lose someone for the season because of a dirty hit. But, I mean, I think that they'll probably play into the third quarter. Maybe fourth quarter would be when guys start coming out. That's just my guess. Joe Thrilton at @ham_Glasgow. General offensive game plan versus MSU. Assuming Michigan takes the ball first. Harbaugh loves too when he wins coin toss. I think first drive, they just establish the run with great Gattis script, get an early lead, putting the game in their control. Then they open it up. UM 66-10, D will dominate. I think the offensive game plan isn't going to be a heck of a lot different than it was this last week, with maybe some more downfield shots kind of thrown in there, okay? Because I don't think you need to change much. I think you can do the same thing. It's the same deal. RPOs, speed and space, getting ball into the speedier players' hands, power run game up front, mash them up. Obviously, get it, you know, not punting would be an ideal situation. So if they can do that again, which I don't, I mean, if they punted once, I would imagine that's going to be hard to sustain. I don't see 66-10 personally. Would I like to see it? Because I don't like Michigan State. Absolutely. I'm not predicting that. Part of me wants to, but the level-headed part says, no, it's probably going to be more in the 38-13 range. I'm Mott New here. When was the last time the spread was more than 3 touchdowns for the old Paul Bunyan? 2016. I had to look it up. I didn't want to be flat-footed, and I saw that question. 2016, it was 25. So, there you go. Michigan did not cover in that game, as we all know. It was an 9-point victory. Panic at Panic Beams. Do you think Gattis gives Joe more freedom this week, especially if we go up a few scores early? I mean, I think if you're able to get what you want in the passing game, if you, by freedom you mean throw downfield, I think that you might test it out a little bit more. But because you want to start getting him acclimated, and it's obviously only if you go up a few scores early, unless you need it. Hopefully they don't need it. I don't think they will. All right, that'll do it for us in segment 2. We got one more segment coming up, finishing out the mailbag. Six more people asking questions. Let's get to it. Doughboy at Israel R0024. I like the running backs, but using a heavy rotation, is that a good thing? Will hurt the running backs by not allowing them to get in a groove? Okay, that's the one where I'm telling you I had a shout out, because we already answered that. So you're right on it, though, because that's exactly a question that I asked in the game thread. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. Joe Semifero at JR Semifero. Halftime adjustments were Don Brown's specialty in the past. Was this just a matter of and NFL wide receivers getting his yards, or are we in serious trouble in the secondary when we face a team, OSU, with multiple threats at wide receiver? Is there a kicking coach to kicking issues from block punt to leads to bad snaps to missed field goals, or outweighed by kick returns and sniffing out the fake punt? Haskins tackling like a linebacker. Well, he was a linebacker, that's why. But kicking is concerning. Have to win on special teams as well as offense and defense. Jay Harbaugh is now the special teams coach. I thought he did some good things and bad things. That, I believe it was the Haskins run. I'm pretty sure. They knew that Minnesota was going to kick a squib like that again. And it almost hit someone, I don't remember who. And they jumped out of the way so it could get into Barrett's hands. Like, they were like, I don't want to field this. Like, it could have, I think it might have been Ben Van Sumeren. But it was like, I'm not taking it. Nope. I'm getting the heck out and letting the speedsters get it, which I thought was really smart. Listen, Quinn Nordine was banged up, wasn't available. Moody just had a bad day. One of them was a bad snap. But otherwise, I mean, you got a new long snapper who only found out he would be starting a couple weeks ago when Cameron Cheeseman opted out. Yes, you can't have the mistakes they had on special teams, but we'll see what happens when Nordine comes back. That's going to be my wait and see of it all. I'm not concerned, but obviously you're not going to be able to do that. Look at what happened against Penn State, or for Penn State against Indiana. Penn State wins that game if they hit any of the 3 missed field goals. So you don't want to be in that situation. Halftime adjustments. If you're talking about, I'm wondering if you're talking about Rashad Bateman and him getting his yards. Listen, Daxton Hill, that was his primary deal, and Daxton Hill was out in the second half. And you had a true freshman making his first appearance in a game going up against Rashad Bateman most of the time. It's not there. There's no adjustments you can do for that at all. So that's just being overly concerned and nitpicking, honestly. Michigan had the game in hand. Didn't really matter. That's one thing you got to remember. Adam Cassell at Adam underscore Cassell, K-A-S-E-L. Fill in the blank. This is the most impressive UMQB debut since blank. What overall grade would you give him? Overall grade for the team. Best debut since... I don't remember Devin Gardner's debut. He came out of the gates looking really good. So maybe him. I'm kind of inclined, though, to think Tate Forcier in 2009 when it was like, oh, wow, they got a quarterback. I you know what? And it's all before the time I was nitpicking. That was Devin Gardner's debut, Tate Forcier, Denard Robinson. Their debuts were all very much in the, I'm going to drink beer and watch this, you know, without paying major attention to what's actually happening. So I couldn't tell you very well, because the only ones that I've covered with a more scrupulous eye are Jake Rudock, Wilton Spate, John O'Korn, Brandon Peters, Shea Patterson, Dylan McCaffrey. So, and now Joe Milton. Overall grade, I'd give him solid A. Overall grade for the team, A minus. Maybe a B. B plus. Let's give him a B plus. Because of the reasons that Joe pointed out on special teams. And because, you want to get that shored up. And I don't have as much of an issue with the run game as some do. So, yeah, that's that. Eric, I have no idea how to pronounce your last name. I'm going to spell your Twitter handle at EPNUECHTERLEIN. Nuchner line, maybe? Updates on Eubanks, Hill, Nordine. Don't know about Eubanks. Hill and Nordine should be back this week. Sounds like that's the case. Zach Vanek at Zach Vanek. Is our lack of zone pass defense ever going to be addressed? They were in zone quite a few times. Not as much as last year, but they ran more zone last year than they did man. And they were in zone quite a few snaps, but not overtly. Because it seemed like early, particularly when they went to zone, they got Bateman and Tanner Morgan found the soft spot in the zone. I don't know why. Like, I feel like people feel like zone is this fix-all. And if you were in zone, then you just aren't going to give up anything. Listen, the best way that you can keep a solid passing offense from constantly gashing you is man coverage. If you have the guys that can handle it. That's it. That's the best way. Zone became the nouveau thing because of what happened against Ohio State in 2018. Because Ohio State just slanted Michigan to death. And Michigan figured out how to keep that from happening. Other teams tried it and were unable to last year. Iowa tried it and got destroyed trying to do it. So, no, I don't think that there's a lack of zone pass defense to address. What they gave up in the passing game, I mean, Tanner Morgan had his worst passer rating as a since he's been a starter, if I'm not mistaken. What was his? He was 18 of 31. I'm going to look this up real quick with you on here. He threw for 58%. He had 197 yards, a touchdown, and one interception. I don't think that there was an issue in containing the pass game. He didn't even break 200 yards. So I don't understand where that's coming from. But I know that that will probably continue to be a narrative that exists within the fan base for some time. But they were like 60% zone last year and 40% man, by the way. Finishing us out, Adam at AA Cali, 1,004-21. So does Mertz get to play against Michigan or no? I'm seeing national people have two different answers. We don't know when he tested positive, when he got his first positive. If he tested positive on Saturday, he could play against Michigan. If he tested his first positive was on Sunday, then he can't. Unless the Big Ten changes the rules with the new thing that came out from Ross Dellinger that cardiologists are saying, hey, guess what? Myocarditis is not an issue. So we'll see. No one's really had a firm answer as to when the positive test came. So that's it. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, sometime relatively early, with the game preview with Brandon Justice. Look forward to that. We are getting close to the battle for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. We'll talk to you then. Peace.